All right, welcome in. We are live. Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. He's Sal Montes. Zay's in the house. Eric's in the house. What a win for UTEP basketball tonight, guys. 69-64. Wave of emotions. I'll start off with mine. I mean, first half, I was like, wait a second. UTEP's hanging in. Like, this is like one of those boxing matches. Eric's going to like the reference. A boxing match. Where you see two guys just equal level, just going at it. Haymakers, combos, left and right. And I thought the first half was excellent. Miners hung in. They make 7 3-pointers in the first half, and it really propels them moving forward. It gives them confidence in the first half. And I just like the swagger. I like the intensity. I like the way that they came out in the first half. And second half, hell of an effort by the Miners. I mean, Jacksonville State led for the majority of that second half. Hell, for the majority of the game, right? They led for 18 minutes, 18 seconds. Miners finish out the game with the lead, but Miners led for 14 minutes, 12 lead changes down the stretch. It was just blow for blow. Miners went up by 9 points. Kasim Watson got this insane offensive rebound. Jamal West Jr. gets a putback. Miners able to separate themselves. It was there was a late KJ Thomas turnover, a late Caleb Blackwell missed free throws, which you got to make those for sure. But other than that, I just loved what UTEP was able to do. They were up by 9. Jacksonville State went on a 5-0 run, 64-60. I mentioned the bad turnover by KJ. It was press defense that Jacksonville State was flexing. Kasim Watson gets that offensive rebound. Then Jamal West Jr. hits the bucket down low. Possession for Jacksonville State late. They botch the possession. Conference USA refs give Jacksonville State the ball back down low. This is under a minute to go. They're not able to get a three off. They're not able to get a shot to fall through. And I just credit the defense, man. I mean, Kasim Watson was going up against his man, doesn't foul, plays poised defense, and then gets the defensive rebound to close out the game. Like, I was just so impressed the way they started this game, the way they maintained and didn't weather, like, they weathered all the storms that went against them and then closed it out with a lot of poise. They were clearly the better team tonight. They looked like a complete team. They played a complete game. You could say arguably the best start to finish game by the Miners all season long, Sal. And suddenly, are we in on this basketball team? I mean, I don't want to say all the way back in, but does this season have a heartbeat? Is this the Undertaker gif right now where, you know, the Undertaker's coming out of the coffin, coming up right now and sitting up in his coffin? Because the Miners suddenly making people believe here. And you heard Joe Golding afterward, the team is starting to believe too.
No, it's huge, Adrian. I mean, we're talking about a team where we asked the question maybe for like 3-4 shows in a row. If the season ended today, would they make the Conference USA tournament? And the answer was an emphatic no. And it didn't even look like it was hard to see if they could even get 10 wins, you know, at some point for me, just being honest. But the way they've played recently, obviously, they have 10 now. I guess if you want to throw away, you know, the wins over D2 or D3, whatever, I get it. But the fact is they're playing much better basketball than they were earlier, and you know how we asked the question, would they make it at that point? No. Well, Adrian, now they're 2 games under 500 in conference, and let's see, 2, 4, 6, they're in 8th place, and there's 10 teams who can make it, so that's impressive for the Miners, especially on the road.
Putting themselves in a good spot, that's for sure. I mean, not only to make the conference tournament, but and that shouldn't be where the bar is set, but playing better in February. I threw out the February stats for Joe Golden coach squads. This team has a chance to peak here in this month and, like, maybe carry that over to March. Zay, your initial thoughts, big win for the Miners tonight, 69-64 over Jacksonville State.
Gutsy win, right? I mean, you're finding ways to pull out, you know, perhaps, I think, the biggest road win of the year, maybe the biggest road win of, you know, the past 2 years outside of the NMSU win last year. And we all know how that season ended up going, so if they can really parlay this one into something bigger, which, you know, the way that they played tonight, you can really sell me on that, then I do think this is the biggest road win that UTEP has had in a while. I mean, Jack State, they're third in the conference. You know, this is not a slouch of the team. And when you put together UTEP's resume over, you know, the past five to six games, you know, you start to see something. Okay, you're starting to get it, right? You're starting to get it, right? You take Sam Houston State down to the wire. Arguably should have won that game, right? Three straight wins, and two of them would have been on the road against two of the best teams in Conference USA. So you can definitely see that they're turning some things around. They're turning things around, but it doesn't get any easier on Saturday.
Let's talk about it quickly. Liberty, preview it. I mean, Miners hosting Liberty, noon game, Don Haskins Center, Valentine's Day, ESPN2.
Well, you know, you guys know it's on YouTube. You know, I called my shot last time, and I still feel, you know, comfortable with that. I mean, if I would have, like, put a bet on this 2 days ago, I'd probably be able to cash out now for, like, you know, an extra $5. So
Kelsey would have liked you on this one.
You know, so, hey, I'm sticking with it. Honestly, I would have liked if UTEP, like, lost this game and then going to that one even. But, you know, you got to say it's the Super Bowl. This is your Super Bowl. This is, you know, a chance to go out there, put the league on notice. You throw everything you've got. You know, you throw everything that you've got. You haven't had an opportunity to host a team like this, you know, that's on such a roll, that is so talented since FAU came to the Don. And, you know, UTEP didn't perform in that one. But if you go a year back, you know, they upset North Texas, who came in on like a 15-game win streak. So it's not impossible. Like I said last time, my reasoning behind it, it's a tough road trip and all. I think, you know, they're playing NMSU right now. NMSU is going to give them a tough time. They gave them a tough time last time they played. So you just got to make it rough for them and see if you can pull one out.
I mean, just weather storms. Like, hang it. If they're within 10 against Liberty's Sal, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I think it was out of the realm of possibility for sure if you look back on that first game between UTEP and Liberty. Saturday, January 17th, I wasn't picking UTEP. You know, this Saturday coming up, February 14th, it's a completely different UTEP team.
No, it definitely is. And also, too, Liberty's not in as a solid form as they have been all year. Don't get me wrong, they're still undefeated in conference play. I get that, but they're not playing as smoothly as they were earlier. I don't know if maybe it's kind of like that middle of the conference play hump, so to speak. But, hey, they're in a battle right now. Let me check in. I think it was a two-point game between the Aggies and Liberty. Yeah, it was like 22-20. Aggies were up, actually. So, it's going to be big for the Miners, but for me, I think just give yourself a chance. I understand the depth that Liberty has, the firepower that they have in general, as soon as the game starts out, and also, you know, a solid coach in Coach McKay. So I can understand that game getting away and going to Liberty, but give yourself a chance.
I almost want to go as a fan just to heckle, like, Liberty for one more time. I've never felt like this, like a troll to any fan base or to any team, but I feel like this is the one time it's going to be hard for me to keep a straight face. Eric, you give me your thoughts. Eric's our spring intern, by the way, here on Minor Talk, and for our entire group here on 600 ESPN El Paso. UTEP defeats Jacksonville State 69-64. You want to talk about it, 915-505-6009. Eric, your thoughts?
Yeah, gutty win, like you guys were talking about. I actually liked the reference that you were coming up with, Adrian. It was kind of a boxing match. You're really going to like this one. So I kind of see it as, you know, the first half, they were getting outmatched. The guy was Jacksonville State in this case. They were landing everything. They were just faster. They were smarter. And in the second half, it's kind of like Jacksonville State kind of got tired. Then they started putting the pressure on, and they started getting there and getting there and getting there, and then they just wore them out. And that's essentially what this was. It was a gritty win, so a win that I think we can all agree that they needed to build momentum, especially coming down the stretch, going into March, and it was great to finally get one.
Zane, they did in the digi camo. They did it in the blue digi camo, you know, Sal. They did it.
When I saw that on ESPN Plus, like, you it was a close game, and I was like, you know what? They're going to lose. Like, they're not going to win this game. I thought it was, like, the regular blue, and then I realized they, like, never wear the regular blue. And, you know, on the ESPN Plus cameras, you can't really tell from afar.
You can fool yourself.
And, yeah, I fooled myself into thinking this is nuts. I forgot about the Digicam. Like, I forgot they even existed. But you know what?
They're back, Sal.
If they're back and they're getting wins for UTEP, you know, I guess I can't hate.
Yeah, you know what? It's true. For the first time in a while, I was locked in on the game and not so much the jerseys. I didn't even think about the DigiCamels. I thought about it originally when Eric and I were kind of watching it on the screen, but in the final minutes, right, of the first half and the second half, which, by the way, back-to-back games that they play solid at the ends of each half, you know, or at least respectable.
Right.
Big there, but I didn't even think about that until now. So, hey.
12 lead changes, 7 times this game was tied. Jacksonville State led for this one, 18 minutes of this game, and the Miners pull it off 69-64. Let's talk about it. 915-505-6009, presented by Jack in the Box. I did this exercise in my head, and I really can't. I don't know where I'm going to land, so I'll ask you guys to see if you can convince me one way or another for this one right here, and maybe our listeners would have some thoughts on this too. Who is the MVP tonight? Kasim Watson, 12 points, but he gets the offensive rebound down the stretch that sealed the game. Like, if Jacksonville State gets that, it's a one-possession game all the way through the stretch. And we're probably talking about either a tie going to overtime, or we're talking about, you know, maybe Jacksonville State stealing it in the final minutes. Because Jamal West Jr., who had Mustafa all game long, guys, he finished with 3 fouls. He played outstanding, 4 blocks, 33 minutes. He's 6'6". He had 10 points in this game. He was quiet in the first half and really got a lot of it in the second half. Or Elijah Jones, who drains 5 three-pointers in this matchup with 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 32 minutes. I mean, who's the MVP tonight? Go ahead, Zay. Your thoughts first.
Yeah, I think, you know, you give a good, compelling argument for all of them. They all played. They all stepped up huge, right? But for me, it's Elijah Jones. I mean, there was a moment right there for UTEP. They were down by 6. It was 43-37. It was their biggest, you know, it was Jacksonville State's biggest lead of the game. And I was just thinking, yeah, we've seen this story before. UTEP keeps it close, and they just can't hang on down the stretch. And here comes Elijah Jones. He hits a couple of threes back-to-back. I mean, that top-of-the-key three, that's his spot, man. Like, he just needs to get there. He'll rise up over you. He'll hit that. And it's such a satisfying thing to watch him shoot the ball, because he's such a pure shooter. And he hit 3 huge beyond the arc buckets for the Miners. And I just think that without him, they're not even close in this one. Like, he has been so huge. And yeah, I got to give the MVP to Elijah Jones.
All right, Sal, where are you going on this?
Yeah, I'm going Elijah Jones as well. Maybe I'm biased as well because I need him to perform well. But
yes.
No, this is a game where, what was it, like the first 10 minutes or so, there was like 6 three-pointers. Something crazy along the lines of that. Both teams were on fire early, and you got to be able to match that firepower over the course of a game. And 5 for this guy is huge. We've been asking, you know, for the last 3-4 years or so since Sule Boom was with the Miners, like, who's going to rise to the occasion and be that three-point shooter? And it's been Elijah.
Isn't it crazy it's Elijah?
It's
Isn't
wild.
It crazy? Like, I think you guys have convinced me it's Elijah, because he finishes 16 points, team, you know, ties the team high. Caleb Blackwell today played outstanding too. He should probably be in the conversation as well. 16 points, 6 assists, 3 turnovers, 2 steals for Caleb Blackwell. So I kind of, you know, I throw the turnovers out there, but the steals kind of counter some of those turnovers that he has. So that really, just for me, it's like 1 turnover right there for him, 6 assists, and then 2 of those steals. Like, that was solid right there for Caleb Blackwell in his performance. But man, I've been such a Kasim Watson fan. Like, I think the Kasim Watson emergence all year long has been the thing that has been the most surprising, impressive thing to me. During stretches where they need a guy, they could turn to him. Like, I like Kasim, Zay, because he has the like short-term memory. He can let things go, you know, the other team's way. He can see some of his shots not fall, and he's going to go back and he's going to attempt a shot with a lot of confidence, and he's probably going to drain it. Like, he's a guy late shot clock when you don't have an option. Give the ball to Kasim Watson. I've been so impressed by him over these last 10 games or so, over the last month or so, and he's really stepped up in this role, filled the role nicely. And I don't know. I know you guys gave the compelling argument for Elijah Jones. I just want to say Kasim Watson, the way he finished this game out.
Yeah, and then, you know, for Kasim, he's gotten so much better on the other side of the ball as well. Like, he is getting physical for the rebounds. I don't want to call him soft at the beginning of the year, but his rebounding, like, he's in there, you know? He's jumping up, he's going, he's high-pointing these. I think he led the team in rebounding. Yeah, 8 boards for him today. He's playing like a true big man now on the defensive side of the ball, which is what they needed, because, you know, it's hard when Jamal West is 6'6", and he's got to take care of you know, probably the best big man on their team. He has to turn, try to get a board. He has to do all these different things. When you have a guy like Kasim who's there to supplement you that on the defensive side of the ball and then come on the other side of the court, we all know what he does. I mean, we laughed at it last time, but it's hard to not see the comparison in at least the way that he plays offensively with a guy like KD. Like, it's just he's a three-level scorer who is – you know, a slim reaper. That's what he is, right? He's a lengthy three-level scorer. And no, he's not Kevin Durant. And no, we're not saying he's going to become Kevin Durant. But his play style is similar. That's like saying, you know, Matheny is Steph Curry. We know Matheny's not Steph Curry. But his play style can be a little similar, right?
So yeah, I agree.
I like that comparison. And, you know, you can tell me, you can make the argument that Kasim was the MVP.
Yeah, I think it was a tight one. I really enjoyed this game, watching it from the three-headed monster that is UTEP's identity: Watson, Jones, and then West Jr. I think it was a really solid game. Solid win for UTEP. You want to talk about it with us, 915-505-6009. 69-64 was the win. Couple thoughts to get to, then we're going to get to some callers here on the program as well. Tristan Pence getting things started with us, our pal. If not for a couple turnovers and quick shots, UTEP would have had a decent lead and win. Miners got West involved. This game is there for the taking. He said this at half, and I truly thought it was there for the taking. They took it and they rolled with it. Enrique, UTEP men's basketball fought for the win, and Coach Golding got his 80th win at UTEP, slightly tailing behind Tony Barbie. Could we have been wrong about Golding? Hashtag Miner Talk. Hashtag how about them Miners? I mean, I would say that for the wrongs that were done this year, UTEP's had done a good job, Sal, to even things out. I'm not all the way back in on the staff, on this team, on them making a run in March, but if there was a time to peak, it's right now. So that, to be leveled about this, right, to understand and recognize they've come a long way up to this point right here, that's where I'll give, you know, I'll tip my hat off to Golding and say I'm not all the way back in, but I'm definitely feel a lot better now here over these last 10 games.
You'll definitely take them more seriously. I think, you know, a couple games ago, let's go back a couple weeks, this team is fighting for what, win number 7 on this season. And even then too, right, 2-game win streak, I think 3 of their last 4, something along the lines of that. It's all fine and dandy, but the fact of the matter is they're still 5 under 500.
There you go.
You know what I mean? 10 and 15. So if we're going to look at the big picture, I can't be all the way in because we've seen some of the worst from them this year. However, you're right. This is the right time to peak. Just goes to show that when you dig yourself in a hole, you got to make up a lot, you know, to kind of even things out. However, they're on that trajectory, though.
Steve Kaplowitz says, that's a really nice road win in Jacksonville for UTEP men's basketball. This team looks like a different group these last few weeks. Playing better defense, and Blackwell has given the Miners offensive boost they need. Hunter is next with us, 915-505-6009. Hunter, are you back in on this team?
Yeah, somewhat.
But thank you. That's a good way of saying it. Somewhat is the best word to use. I'm somewhat in on this team. Somewhat.
I'm gonna. You got to give credit where it's due, right? But I'm gonna pull a Lee Corso on your one of your. X comments that someone made, that not so fast, my friend. You know, saying if we're wrong about Golding, and look, he's at 80 wins and he's just right behind Barbie. You got to look at the competition that Barbie did it against versus the clown college USA that they're in right now. That you can't compare the two. You know, beating JUCO level talent versus beating Memphis and UAB and all the other powerhouses, get out of here. Not so fast.
Houston, you know, Tulsa, UCF, no Marshall, SMU.
Zero comparison. Like, Golding would be over his career against those teams. Not even close. But for the good, right, and I'm going to – for the good, think about where this team was in December – when nobody, you know, me included, I thought it was going to be a struggle to get to 10 wins. We didn't think they could beat anybody. And to go from that to what they're doing now, that's a big turnaround. And I hate that everything's such a struggle for Golding and his staff always. There's been very few wins his entire time here that they won convincingly, and it just wasn't an ugly game against a quality opponent. you know, it's always a struggle. And the same thing with this season, it's a struggle to get to this point. But they're improving. I think the biggest things that I've noticed that they've changed are on the defensive end. Their on-ball defense, 100 times better. They're denying the drive. They're making it harder for people to attack. They're not committing the stupid foul down low. They're playing with their body, moving their feet. You didn't see that before. And then on the offensive end, they have found something. They've slowed the ball down. They've worked inside out a lot, which opens up that outside. And Caleb Blackwell, with his 6 assists in the second half, we might have found a bit of a point guard out of him, not just a scorer.
6
and
assists.
That's huge. That's what this team is lacking. They're not lacking scores, man. I love West down low. Elijah Jones is who he is. Kasim Watson is who he is. They can all score. You can have, anybody can have 20 points out of Caleb Blackwell and all of them, but they lack a point guard. And if he can fill that role and facilitate for others like he did this second half, they found something. Now it's against subpar competition. I don't care if they're second in this conference. It's a joke. So here's where my half in, half out, right? They're doing things now to enable them to win a couple games. They've significantly improved. For those reasons I listed, they're playing better defense. The block shots are way up there. They're making it harder for people to score. They're more consistent on offense. Now, the difference between winning a couple games and being a winning team, they still don't do the things to be a consistent winner. They don't make free throws. They tried to give it away at the free throw line today. You can't do that. They give up some second chance garbage points. You can't. They don't do the little things. They don't take value the ball. You know, KJ Thomas had terrible turnover there late in the game. They're kind of sloppy at times. Winning teams are consistent, and they don't do any of that stuff. And they're not a winning team yet. They haven't proven that yet. They won a couple games. Start doing all those little things right consistently, and then. Now you might have me sold on this.
Who is the MVP tonight? West, Jones, or Watson in your eyes?
You know, I'm gonna go with none of the above, which is kind of shocking. I'm going with Caleb Blackwell.
Wow.
They extended their lead because of those 6 assists. He facilitated for others. And if it wasn't, look at the night and day difference, man. He took all those terrible shots in the first half, and they competed. They were tied. But they went and they had an offensive rhythm the entire second half because he made it happen for others. And he was the best at the free throw line. He had a very critical series there where he made those technical fouls and all. And that's where they really took off on their lead. A lot of the scoring came from him, whether it was by assists or otherwise. So he's the unsung hero. He did all the dirty work. And for me, he was the MVP today.
Good stuff, Hunter. Hey, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in, and thanks for hanging with us here on a rare Wednesday edition of Minor Talk. So good stuff, Hunter. Appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. He goes Caleb Blackwell on that. He gives a really compelling argument, and maybe something that they have in the future with Caleb Blackwell, which I think is a pretty good point to bring up. I think, you know, Teich was really on this in the pregame. He was saying how Blackwell has really emerged for them really since, you know, the last 2 weeks or so. He's really kind of found himself. Joe Golding said in the postgame show, he was kind of looking to do too much early on in the season, and now he's kind of settled into his role. What differences have you seen from him, Zay? Like, what have you noticed from Caleb Blackwell emerging ever since, really? He got those, he was kind of hurt after the Middle Tennessee game. He didn't play in those, the FIU loss on the road, the Middle Missouri State loss on the road, and then he comes back in the Western Kentucky game, kind of eases back into it, and then when they hosted Florida International, that's where I kind of saw Caleb Blackwell turn a corner, proverbially, and look at what he's become right now.
Yeah, and with Caleb Blackwell, it was just about consistency. He was so inconsistent throughout the whole year, and he's, you know, through conference play, he still has been, but you see the ups and you see the downs. First off, we could talk about the point guard stuff. That's cool. He's a scorer. He's, you know, that's what they need from their guards as well. You can have a guy to facilitate the ball, but we've all seen that Jamal, Elijah, and Kasim, they can have great games. That means nothing when you don't have winning guards and guards who can score the basketball. And he can do that. He's the best scoring guard on this team. He's the best on-ball scorer on this team. He gets to his spots. You know, he's such a streaky shooter. You see one go in, he'll take it from the other side of the court and it'll fall. You know, like, he can ball. He's athletic. You know, he looks... What? They probably have him listed at 6 foot. He's like 5'10", maybe.
Yes.
But he's quick, man. He off the dribble, he's quick. And that's how, you know, he gets the defense in, slings it outside. He has an open Kasim. He has an open Elijah. He plays so good. And, you know, at the junior college level, he averaged 5 assists a game. I think he averaged 10 and 5. Like, this point guard playmaking stuff, it's been in him. So I really do believe that, yeah, maybe he was trying to do too much, getting acclimated. You know, I hear this a lot on the coaching show, especially with, you know, the women's head coach, Keitha Adams. But with JUCO guys, sometimes, you know, it takes some time. And they're all different, right? Ahmad Bynum last year came out of JUCO. He was one of the best players on the team immediately. And he kind of fizzles out. Maybe with Caleb, you know, it maybe takes some time to get going, get accustomed to this level. But now... Look at him, right? 16 points, six assists. And you talked about the 3 turnovers, but you also said, hey, he had some steals mixed in there as well, right? That kind of offsets that. So if you can get this out of him every night, and I think you talked about it last time, if a Caleb Blackwell can be scoring like 15 points for you with Jamal Kasim and you know, Elijah doing what they usually do, like, this is a legit scary team to play come March.
Sal, I said it a couple of weeks ago. I think I'll double down on it. I like this. I think it's a likable team overall. Like when you watch them, there's not a guy who's like super selfish with the ball. There's not a guy who's like, it's my team. It's get out of the way. It's my group. I like this is a likable bunch right here. The way they play when they play like they did tonight.
Yeah, when they play this way, right, handling your business and making plays that need to be made. And another thing, too, is let's say a bucket didn't go in or it was a turnover on for the Miners. They're able to, at some point, kind of equalize it, you know, within the next series or the series after. So they did a great job of not letting it get too far away. I mean, those threes to cut it back within three after being down 6 in the second half, it was huge. You needed those types of plays. And also, too, another part I wanted to bring out, just that sheer amount of aggression you got to play with pretty much all game where there was very small separation. I think there was a point where, like, around the 10-minute mark into maybe, like, the 16 or 10-minute mark of the first half going into the second half, like, the 16 or 15-minute mark, no lead or deficit was greater than 3 at that point. So that margin for error is so slim. When they play like this, though, Adrian, they're definitely a likable group. And it's in the part of the season, right, that second half of the season, and that's where you got to be playing your best, and they are.
Okay, let's go to sidelines. Our guy Kevin, who's joining us next, Kevin Bazaar, who's back with us. Then we got Milkman, who's going to make his return to Minor Talk, which I'm excited about. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter, and 600 ESPN El Paso, our app. We're checking everything right now here on the program. A lot of comments to get to as well. Kevin, what's going on, my man? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. You guys got me calling back nights, man.
I can't believe it.
On a 2-game win streak? Oh, my God. I didn't even go to church this Sunday, and they were winning on a 2-game win streak. Are you kidding me? it was a good win tonight. You know, you guys touched on some great points on, like, not fully buying into this team yet. Because, I mean, yeah, they are under 500, and it's hard for me, myself, to still buy into them. But, man, at this point in the season, I will take these 2 back-to-back wins, especially against the second seed in Conference USA. I think UTEP has always had trouble playing on the road and CUSA play, specifically, you know, with Joe Golding. And the fact that they won on the road today, pretty damn good, man, honestly. I really like what I saw from Elijah Jones today, man. I think he's really just kind of blossoming into this, like, everyday, like, 3 and 4, you know, on the court, and I thought he had a pretty good game today, to be honest.
If you had to pick to keep one guy between Elijah Jones, Kasim Watson, and Caleb Blackwell next year, who would it be?
Oh, man, that is tough. I think you roll with Elijah because, I mean, if he wants to stay, God willing, he wants to stay because, you know, he knows the system very well. You know, we've kind of seen him blossom, like I said, transfer from like this very, like, you know, an everyday guy in your lineup. And I remember, you know, when he came onto the, I think the first game I think I watched him against was Oklahoma Arts and whatever that team was. And I think he had like 20 points that game. I'm like, all right, like, I know this team is not good, but there's that potential. You see those strides in him, and, man, it would be awesome to have him back next year.
Okay, just a funny, like, because it's because you got it, okay? He was 7 for 7 in that game against the Oklahoma Science and Arts Academy or whatever.
Seven for seven.
19 points. He had a perfect game. And then the game before that against McMurray, 19 points, 5 of 5 shooting, by the way, in that game. 3 for 3 from beyond the arc. So that was his, like, welcome to basketball moment, Elijah Jones. And then he didn't play too much of his sophomore season, if you remember. Or his, I would say that was his redshirt freshman season that year. He was an all-conference freshman recipient that year. But, man, I'm with you. I would take Jones out of that bunch. But tonight, who's your MVP? Would you also go Jones the way he played? I mean, Sal and Zay said it. They thought he was their MVP from tonight's game, the 5 3-pointers and what we saw from him. We heard Hunter call in about Caleb Blackwell for 16 points tonight. But who is your MVP after tonight?
Man, I'm going to go a complete curveball. Let's go Kasim Watson, man. He was 2 boards shy of the double-double. Did he get a double-double last game, too? I think he did, right?
He flirted with it. If he didn't get it, he flirted with it, for sure.
Man, I like Kasim Watson a lot, man, and I liked him coming in. And when I first saw that kid, he was like, he's like 6'9", 6'8", a body frame like KD. That guy has a lot of upside, man. I thought he had a good
game. He did get a double-double.
Today.
He did against New Mexico State, 18-12.
He could have had 2 back-to-backs, and, man, you know, his season didn't start the way we all thought. We thought he was just going to kind of just, you know, be their everyday shooter and whatnot. I don't think he really found his stride until, you know, right now or kind of in the middle of the season. But let's go with Kasim Watson, man. 12 points, 8 rebounds. You can't beat that, man. 4 for 4 from the free throw. I don't know what Hunter was saying about they were bad from the free throw line tonight. I mean, 74% is not good, but a 74% from the free throw line with the Joe Golding team, I think that's pretty decent to end the night.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it for sure. And what about Liberty? What do you think before we let you go?
Liberty, I'm hate watching NMSU right now, so I don't know if I want them to lose tonight or I want them to win, because if they lose tonight, they're going to come into the Don hungry for a win, and that scares the shit out of me, guys. Excuse my language. Sorry.
I love it. Thanks, my man.
Look, I want Liberty to beat the brakes off of NMSU, man. I can never go for NMSU in any situation, so let's go Liberty Flames, baby.
I love it. Good stuff, Kevin. Thanks for the call tonight, man. Thanks for weighing in here with us on Minor Talk. That's Kevin Pizarro, Sidelines UTEP. Check him out, SSN UTEP. You heard the fan in him come out tonight. Good stuff, Kevin. I appreciate you. Milkman is back with us. Wow. We've been waiting for this call for a while. He is back on with us. It's great to hear from him. I know it's been a long season for UTEP. Milkman, welcome aboard. Welcome back to Minor. Actually, before we get to Milkman, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. Don't want to mess up Milkman here on this call. We'll pause 10 seconds for station identification. We'll be back in just a second here, Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. 915-505-6009. Milkman is next with us. Milkman, welcome back, man.
Hey, what's up, gents? How y'all doing?
Doing great. How are you, man?
Doing good. I have been watching the games this year, but I've just been super busy, couldn't call in. And I'll be quite honest with you, most of the games this year, I kind of didn't feel like calling in. But,
yeah, checked out. I get it.
Yeah. But I will say we haven't been able to go to the games because my dad hasn't really felt, you know, he says it's pretty comfortable at home, and you know, they... Yeah, again, I'll be honest, they didn't really give us much of a reason to go out there earlier in the season, but I really wanted to call you after that NMSU game, but I just didn't have time, and tonight we were watching, and I got to tell you, you know, while they may not end up doing anything in the end, they're definitely a different team from what we watched earlier this year, losing to, you know, little podunk colleges. They're making free throws. They're making three pointers. I was like, we couldn't throw it in the ocean shooting from three earlier in the year, and now I'm actually seeing them go in, and I'm like, wow, what happened? I don't know. I'm not sure what he's done differently or what, you know, what Golding has instilled in them later in the year, but they definitely look better. I can tell you that. It's nice.
Do you see what I'm seeing? Do you see what I see when I say that this is a likable team, or do you disagree there?
No, I agree. I agree. I was with that other caller that said he didn't think they'd get to 10 wins. I was in that same boat. I mean, that's what I was seeing. And, you know, if they keep playing like this, you know, who knows? All I know is they definitely look better. And that's, you know, considering what we saw earlier this year, that is a marked improvement.
Who's your favorite player on this team, Milkman? We haven't caught up with you in a while, but who do you, like, really enjoy watching on this team?
Well, I mean, there were so little to choose from early on, but
sure.
I mean, just going off of what I've just seen recently, I mean, Elijah Jones was looking really good tonight. You know, that's probably what I'd go with.
But it's like kind of that. There's like a bunch of guys on this team. They kind of make you all right. Like one game it's this guy, one game it's that guy, and
yeah,
Jamal
yeah,
West
exactly.
is kind of consistent. And
right.
you're getting right. consistent 3-point shooting from Elijah. Like you get
yeah,
all these different things. So yeah, I hear
yeah,
what you're saying.
I saw West doing some real good things in a couple games. So I again, if you'd have hit me up then, I would have probably said him. But yeah. It's kind of hard to choose. Like, I can't say that there's a star, you know, but yeah, every game it seems like somebody does something, you know.
Fair. Well, okay, give me before we let you go, Milkman, your thoughts on Liberty and the game coming up.
Well, they've already proven that like NMSU could play them close. We didn't, but NMSU did. We've beaten NMSU. I think it's not out of the question. Let's put it that way. Now, again, we're talking right now. Earlier in the season, I would have said not a chance. But I don't think it's out of the question. I think you can sort of see it in their eyes it feels different for them. Like the they're like, oh, hey, we're actually playing basketball here. So I don't think it's out of the question. It's probably not going to happen, but I wouldn't be shocked. Let's put it that way.
Okay, fair. Good stuff, Milkman. I appreciate your phone call, man. Good to hear from you. Good to have you back on the show, and appreciate you continuing to listen. I know you follow the hoops. I know you and your pops are big into it. And hey, the home setup, that's a good idea too. It's hard to beat that when you can watch it from the comfort of your home and also get a chance to still follow the squad. So good stuff, Milkman. Appreciate your phone call. Thank you for weighing in. 505-6009, that's our telephone number. We got a lot of comments coming in on Twitter and X, and then I've got a good one for you guys after that. And then we'll kind of dissect a little bit more on what we're seeing from Liberty, New Mexico State, and how we turn the page over to the Liberty game on Saturday. This is from Leo_MinorFan, our pal. Kudos to UTEP for the crap they've been given, rightfully so, for myself included. They've been more consistent at playing better, as we talked about on Minor Talk. Sad UTEP fan. Hot damn, what a great way to stick it out. But Thomas's booty cheeks, terribly thrown pass out of bounds and a possible 3-point foul. Dear God, he is going to give me a heart attack. I get it. Just minor guy. These guys definitely fight. Just wish we could get some consistency. No reason as to why we're in the bottom four of Conference USA. Hopefully the moment can carry to the conference tournament. I mean, that's when you actually believe in this team, right? Like, if this can actually carry to March. Pinky, great road win, Miners. Again, Coach Golding did not substitute crazy again. I am glad for that. Good minutes from the bench guys. Horton hit a three. How about that? And guys, I marked it because at the 9-minute mark of the first half, they pulled Horton right away. He misses a shot and they pull him right away like mad. They didn't like the shot selection that he had. And then confidently comes back later in the first half, Zay, and buries a three. I was surprised.
Yeah, I mean, Trey Horton, man.
It was like late in the first half too.
Yeah, you know, it was in the corner. It's a shot that, let's be real, he's not hit those types of shots a lot. And we know what Trey Horton is offensively. He's supposed to be the spot-up shooter. And if you can get him to just hit one a game, that's all you need from him. One a game in about 15 minutes. Like, that's the perfect spot for him. And we haven't seen it all year. Is this the turning point? Hopefully.
Maybe so. It might be. It might be. Let's see. This is coming in from Chris from Inspo Lens. Props to UTEP on the win. Obviously, their season hasn't been the best, but maybe they can turn the corner here at the end of the season. Who knows? The basketball they've been playing the last two games actually looks a little bit more solid. Good stuff, Chris. Appreciate you chiming in on the show from Inspo Lens. He'll be back with us here either on Saturday for the Liberty game or next week for the New Mexico State game, so you'll be able to watch us on Inspo Lens as well. This is from Shannon, who says, you guys know where I could find the attendance averages for Conference USA men's basketball this season. I posted this on my side. Season basketball averages New Mexico State at 4,800 fans at the Pan Am. UTEP, second place, 3,950 is what they're averaging. Middle Tennessee at 3,700. Western Kentucky, 3,100. By the way, FIU still 571. They just still can't get fans. Sorry. Poor FIU. I feel bad for them. That's just terrible. They're just never going to get fans at those games.
I thought you were going to say, like, look at FIU. They're near the top with 5,000 fire or something. I did not expect 571. I mean,
500, yeah.
It's like, yeah, they got five. No way, 500.
500, yeah. Yeah, so as far as Florida International, or I mean for UTEP and attendance, I mean, maybe that picks up. Maybe the Miners actually close that gap a little bit and actually, you know, average much more than 3,900 when the season closes, as they've been playing better. Trey Politz says, Miners to work on full court press more in practice. Great win against second place Jack State. Keep going. Go Miners. Miner talk number one. Good job, Trey. Appreciate you. Misael says, give Joe Golding an extension. Tristan Pence, the confidence gained from New Mexico State was very apparent tonight. The Miners were definitely dialed in. Let's hope this Miner team flips the script from last year's team and finishes strong. Hashtag Miner talk. Joe Golding called it like a springboard, like saying that this could springboard them. And I like the word. Like, the New Mexico State definitely could springboard them moving forward. Okay, I'm going to give you four players, guys, and I'll just reel off stats, okay? This is a player from 2023-2024, okay? This player in particular averaged 15 a game. He played in all 34 games, started every game, averaged 33 minutes a game. This player in particular shot 37% from beyond the arc, and this player's name is Tay Hardy. Okay, killed it. Obviously, you know, great player for UTEP, one of their best in that season, 2023-24. Okay, last year, Corey Camper Jr., he's out there, he's averaging 31 minutes a game, he's scoring 10.5 points, he's averaging 3 rebounds, and he is putting up 2 assists a game, 2 steals a game as well, which is super helpful for them last year. He was shooting 40% last year and 33% on three-pointers, okay? That's Corey Camper, his stat line. I wanted to compare a little Corey Camper, okay? Now let's talk Kasim Watson and Elijah Jones. Kasim Watson, 25 games so far, 12.6 points per game. He's shooting 40% from the floor, 38% from beyond the arc, and Elijah Jones, 25 games this year. He's averaging a whopping 14 a game, 5 rebounds. He's also averaging a block per game, and he's shooting 49% from the field, 39% from beyond the arc. I mean, what do these numbers tell you, that Kasim Watson, Elijah Jones offensively are as productive as guys like Corey Camper, Tay Hardy? Zay, if I had to make the argument to you, like, that I want Elijah Jones as my outside shooter, my perimeter shooter, over any of these guys, Tay Hardy and Corey Camper included, what do you say?
You know, I say yes with like an asterisk. Like, yeah, if you want an off-ball guy who can just catch and shoot, give me Elijah Jones over those two guys, because, I mean, those two guys, I think maybe Corey might have done it a couple of times, but he didn't do it at this high of a clip, this productive, as Elijah Jones. And with Tay Hardy, he really never did. Like, he always had the ball in his hand when he was shooting, so he wasn't like a great just spot-up guy. If you have a guy in pickup, and you're like, we just need a guy who can get rebounds and can hit a couple of threes, Elijah Jones is your guy. Like, yeah, he can be a difference maker. So, yeah, give me Elijah Jones.
If you're playing like a 3-on-3 game, Sal, I think I'm taking Elijah. Yeah. Like, 3-on-3 basketball, and I just need to run up a tournament, give me Elijah Jones.
It, in a 3-on-3, he could do pretty much anything, right?
Exactly.
If you want to post up, he could post up. If he wants to go out, you know, from deep range, he could do that. But, no, I like that, too. I'd probably pick Elijah, but it all depends, like, who's out there on the floor. Because if you have, like, Hardy or if you have a Camper out there, more than likely they're probably going to be running the offense, right? It's going through them.
Fair.
Whereas with Jones, it's kind of like you give him the ball up there. He's not necessarily taking it up there. But no, I'll take it right now, man. I think so far, right, he's been showing that he could be reliable from out there. So they're going to need it, you know, this final stretch of the season.
This year, Elijah Jones, or the senior year, Tay Hardy, for you?
Elijah Jones.
Zay.
Are we forgetting that Tay Hardy led, like, a subpar team to the Conference USA Championship? Like,
Sid Powell was there. Sid Powell was there.
Are we? Oh, my. Guys, UTEP didn't win a road game until the last road stretch of the season. They
Jack
were
State,
terrible
Liberty.
Down the stretch. Like, Tay Hardy, and I guess Zid Powell can get some credit in this. Like, those two guys willed that team. Like, Tay Hardy was playing like 40 minutes a game towards the end of that stretch. I got to go with Tay on that.
Okay. Fair. Corey Camper, Elijah. Last year, Corey Camper.
Elijah, yeah. If it's last year, Corey, give me Elijah.
Okay. You too, Sal? No question? Elijah, yeah. Elijah over Corey?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Kasim over Corey? Because you go Kasim over? Because I was trying to make that point by looking up these stats. Would you go Kasim this year over Corey last year?
You know, I feel like this is disrespectful to Corey in like a way, but at the same time, if I pick Corey, I feel like it's disrespectful to Kasim. It's just, it's weird. If I'm just going like, who would I? Like, if you switch those guys, if you switch those guys and you put Kasim on that team and Corey on this team, like, which team would be more successful? And I feel like in that instance, I feel like this team would be a little bit more successful.
Wow,
if you switch them, yeah. But at the same time, it's hard to lose a guy like Kasim. I don't know. This team just needs guards. So I'd be willing to sacrifice one of the good bigs for a good guard.
Okay, UTEP Sports Guy 66. Post this. Obviously, being near the bottom of the conference isn't ideal, but this group has shown some grit. But does this mean Golding should keep his job or even wants to keep his job? Our standard has got to be higher than 10 and 15, especially in a coach's fifth year. Sources tell me close to Joe Golding's camp that unless they make the NCAA tournament, he believes his time at UTEP has run its course and will most likely part ways. Note, Golding signed a 3-year extension last June. First off, I'm not reporting that, and that's what this Twitter follower on social media is suggesting. I would say that it's still too early to tell, like, the, you know, where this team is at, but I also think that it says a lot that no one quit. And I thought that Golding went on a good rant today by saying there's been this time of year and years past, times where players on the team, on his teams at UTEP, have just quit. And just, you know, it's easy to look at the finish line and say, man, I can't wait for March to come and I can hit the portal. And I don't think anybody's looking for the portal yet. I think this team wants to end things on the right note. Like, they truly want to play for each other. This team truly cares. That's what I see on the floor. I think, unlike what we've seen maybe last year or even the year before when they made it all the way to the conference tournament, this team is truly bought in. I like that. That's why I believe they're a likable team. I don't know if you guys see that either, but that's where I stand there. Manny David, great road win for UTEP. Definitely something to build off for Saturday. I'll definitely be booing Porter and Matheny loudly and proudly on Saturday afternoon. Yeah. Leo underscore minor fan likes the somewhat. He says, for Hunter's point, he says, same on the somewhat for Miners, but keep it going. Okay, good job. Where are we at right now here in this Liberty game, Eric? Give me the update.
Right now it's 48-46. So Liberty is up 13 minutes in the second half.
Yeah, it's a tight game. And I don't know if that's what's going to happen Saturday, Sal. I think it could go in waves. Like, if Liberty's up 10 points with 5 to go, I wouldn't be worried. But I also, you know, if I'm UTEP, I would be worried if I'm up 10 points with 5 minutes to go. Like, they could come right back into the game.
I don't know. I'd take a 10-point lead over anybody in this conference at any point in time. They've been on the other side plenty of times. So I think you'd should try and get any lead that you can get. But you're right, though. It's kind of like in a flash, they can get those buckets, and they do so quickly. You know what I mean? That's what makes them dangerous. They've done it pretty much since McKay got there. I think that's the really impressive part. So scouting reports are out there. It's just sometimes there's nothing you can do even if you're there. That's the kind of team they are.
Zay, Liberty buried the Miners that first game, and it was kind of early, and Miners tried to fight back in it, but they were down and pretty much couldn't come back.
Yeah, I mean, it's three straight wins for the Flames over UTEP, which, you know, it's sounds weird, but that's not normal in this, I guess, mini series. Like, it's been so competitive, so yeah, we'll see what happens, right? I think these two coaches, by now, they know each other's game. You know, they know how they play against each other, and I'm excited to see, right? I always turn back to that Conference USA tournament run. I mean, UTEP going into that game against Liberty, or during that game, like, I thought they were going to lose. I remember I was out of town. I turned the game off. Like, I never turned the games off. And I turned the game off. And UTEP went on a 24-3 run. Like, this team is going to need, like, there's this guy on Twitter. He's like KenPom. He's like Walmart KenPom. And I don't know his name. But anytime a team goes on a 10-0 run, it's a kill shot. UTEP's going to need a bunch of 10-0 runs. This game is going to be decided by runs. They're each going to have their own run. We saw it in the first half of the last game. It's going to happen today. And, yeah, like Sal said, look, 10-point lead, you take it. But, I mean, UTEP had a 9-point lead in the last media timeout of this one. Jacksonville State came back, a couple easy buckets. I know one of the callers talked about it. They need to figure out a way to play with a lead down the stretch. I mean, in overtime against New Mexico State, they were up 9.
Yeah.
They let NMSU climb back into that one. Learn how to play with a lead. Learn how to be secure with the lead. Get past that trap. I mean, everybody talks about the KJ Thomas turnover. That's two turnovers on the other side of the court for KJ. He had one against New Mexico State when they barely inbounded it, and he has one here today. He's been great as a ball handler bringing up the court. But he needs to learn how to play with that pressure. In all, I'm just excited. This is a mini rivalry. Like, I don't care what anybody says.
Yes.
It's a fun game. I absolutely despise Liberty coming with their 25 support staff. They have to bring like 10 extra chairs. Mind you, UTEP supplies like a lot of chairs on the bench for these guys. And they still have 10 guys. Like, they cover the photographers. You can't even take pictures on one side of the court. And then they still have more guys behind the bench. And it's like, come on.
They need an assistant video guy or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but all in all, I just hope it's a good game. It's a matinee. It's a Valentine's Day matinee. What better way to spend time with your significant other than to go to a UTEP game?
There you go. Sal, any thoughts on Matheny, Cleveland, Porter, the trio that will come one more time to the Haskins Center?
I don't know. If you're going on a date over there, they just might fall for the headband and the hair bounce.
Oh, no.
Don't do it, guys. Oh. Watch it. No, I'm joking. Go out there and wear your headband. Show your lettuce. That's what I say.
Maybe we should all rock some headbands for Matheny the last time around.
And you got to wear them like exactly like him. Because I feel like any one of us could rock a headband. It'll look nice. But the way Matheny rocks it, it just looks ugly, man. Like, yeah, I don't know. Matheny, Porter, whichever one with the long, annoying hair.
I always get them messed up.
I think it's Porter.
It might be Porter, yeah.
I think he was the one that wears the headband.
Yeah. Paul and Porter. Yeah.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
It is Porter.
As long, you know what? Okay, yeah, there it is. Look, like, why is it so high up there? Maybe, I don't know. I don't think his forehead is not that big.
I want to get a photo with him. Like, I want to take a picture with him and just say, this is the end. Like, basically, like a sayonara to conference.
Get one with Rich McKay. It's my screensaver, you know?
Yeah, you got to bust out that photo for this weekend. That's for sure, Zay. Sal, I don't know if I can pick a win, but I can say that based on what we've seen over the last three games, I expect Miners to keep it close. And what we're seeing tonight for UTEP, or I should say New Mexico State and Liberty, I expect it to be close.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to see it get out of hand too early. I think the way this game can go is the Miners can battle. But, you know, Liberty, even then too, I look at it like, are both teams going to play their best? And if they are, who's still going to come out on top? Still give Liberty that edge, but you don't want to see it get out of hand too early, man. Try to keep it within 10-10, you know what I mean, around the four-minute, let's say the four-minute timeout, right, going into the final 4 minutes. So that's what I want to see. And if it's a double-digit win for Liberty, but by way of free throws or, you know, kind of just garbage time points, that's respectable. You don't want to see it blown out.
Yeah, you want to keep this one close. Eric, let's get your final thoughts. Let's also get your any takeaways you had from this one in particular, but anything you want to weigh in for Liberty and then also to close out this one here tonight.
Against Liberty, I mean, the blueprint's there. New Mexico State is giving us the blueprint how to keep it close against Liberty, how to essentially beat Liberty too. You got to contain Matheny. You got to contain Porter. You got to make sure Cleveland doesn't get hot. Otherwise, it's going to be a long night, and it's not going to be pretty. In terms of this game, hey, like I said, it was a win that they needed. It was something that hopefully they can build on. Liberty's not going to be easy. It's going to be very tough to come by. And, yeah, a final goodbye to Liberty from Conference USA. Couldn't come any sooner. Thank goodness. And we'll see them on Saturday.
Zay, let's wrap it up. Let's talk a little Jacksonville State, UTEP beating them tonight in 69-64. Just a huge road win for UTEP. Not a lot of road wins this year. It's only their second of the season, but they get it done today.
Yeah, not a lot of road wins these past 4 years, honestly. Like, not to Fair. Be blunt, but, you know, these are rare Minor Talk road win. And, yeah, I mean, it was an enjoyable game to watch. I liked, you know, we hit on Caleb Blackwell. He had a great game, 16 points, the 6 assists. Like, you need that out of him. And we talked about their defense. Cassius Brooks, I mean, his 4 points off the bench.
Are we in or out?
I'm in. Like, I don't know if I've always been in on my guy Kid Cash, but he's in the right place at the right time. You know, like, I mean, me and you were joking earlier, like, him in L.A., if they can just take turns having good games every so often, that's all you need.
You take that.
Yeah, you need one of L.A., Trey, or Cassius to step up, and today it was Cassius. Defensively, I feel like he plays a lot better, a lot cleaner. So I'm excited. Muhammad Bey.
My out of the rotation. You
know? Yeah, he had, what, 2 minutes, 3 minutes? Yeah, I'm not sure what you're going to get from this bench rotation. Bobby Montgomery, he's probably not going to play down the stretch either. I think that we talked about it last time. Men play past February. They kind of have their rotation down. So I'm excited to see how they play Liberty. It's going to be a chess match, but I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
I'm ready for it, too. We'll have it for you. Countdown to tip-off, 11:30. Game itself, noon. Early game Saturday. Looking forward to it all. We'll have it all for you here on the program. That'll do it for us on Minor Talk. We really appreciate everybody hanging with us. Great show here today. UTEP gets it done 69-64 over Jacksonville State. Special shout-out to Jack in the Box, our title sponsor here. Shout-out to Eric, Sal Montes, Zay Garindo. I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are done here tonight saying thanks for listening to Minor Talk. We'll be back in action Saturday for another edition right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.